Hello and welcome to the Beard and Glasses podcast with me, Stephen Hayes, and Ben Greasley.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Very well. Got through another week of lockdown. So,
how many weeks of lockdown is that for you?
We're on day 31 or 32.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's bad.
Well, you're going to catch up. Don't worry.
Hopefully not. Hopefully, well, no, you're in like a full 12-week lockdown, aren't you?
Oh, at least, yeah.
Oh, gosh, okay.
How about you guys?
Yeah, we're doing good. So the weather's been on and off this week. I've got small boys, so having good weather means we can go outside and play. Having bad weather means we have to stay inside. But yeah, it's been a good week, and I've listened to Coldplay all week.
Yeah, so this week we're asking the question, are Coldplay that good? We would probably both say, yeah, thank you for listening, but we're going to actually unpack this a little bit further, aren't we, Ben?
We are, yeah. So we're kind of framing this around the idea of it's been 20 years in a couple of months since Parachutes was released. It came out when I was 14 years old. How old were you, Steve? Were you 13 when it came out? 13, 14?
14.
14 years old. I remember when that came out, and since then they've produced albums consistently for the last 20 years. They get a bit of a bad rap occasionally, don't they? You know, people who like Coldplay or Coldplay themselves are either horribly depressing or ridiculously over the top, or, you know, it's quite fun to kind of dump on Coldplay.
Yeah, I think the whole Coldplay being depressing thing, I feel like that's worn off a little bit, but I never really got it. I think yeah, there was a few melancholy. Their first album was fairly melancholy, I suppose, but I don't think that's valid for any subsequent thing they did. But I think it's just an easy thing to say for people who don't really understand them.
Yeah, it's an easy brush to kind of tar someone with after having listened to one album 20 years ago. So what I thought we'd do is we'd talk about our kind of early experience. I mean, what was your first Coldplay album? Was it Parachutes or was it Rush of Blood to the Head?
No, it was Rush of Blood.
Really?
Yeah. So I was late to the party.
Yeah.
I think I'd heard the singles. That was in the age where, I don't know if you can remember this, but you would just sit watching music channels, MTV and I think The Box.
Yeah.
And just sit there watching music videos. And I don't know. I don't suppose people really do that now. Or maybe they do. So yeah, Don't Panic, Shiver, Yellow, I think, and Trouble. I think they were the singles from that album. So I heard enough of it. And I liked what I heard. But then when I bought the second album when it came out, we can get to it, but it was a great experience.
So for me, it was Parachutes. Parachutes was the first album I bought. I bought it on my way to, it was kind of the first proper album I bought. I bought it on the way to a jazz piano lesson. My mum was taking me to this jazz piano lesson. We had to stop off in Sainsbury's on the way, and I saw the album on the shelf. It was great. I saw the album on the shelf, and I think I'd heard one track off it. I think I'd heard Panic or something like that.
Or Don't Panic, as it might be the case.
Yeah, so I heard Don't Panic off it, and I thought, yeah, I like that.
I love that your glass half empty way of thinking just changed the song into Panic.
That's where my mind immediately went. Yeah.
The exact opposite of maybe that's because of the current circumstances.
Maybe, yes, it's like a Freudian slip for pandemics.
Yeah, perhaps.
So I bought this album on my way to jazz piano and listened to it kind of religiously after that. And that was kind of the first proper album I had. I'd gotten can you remember you used to be able to get those three CD changer hi-fi deck things from Argos?
Yeah, I had a Sharp 3 CD changer.
Oh,
changed my life.
It did, yeah. So I had one of those, and Coldplay Parachutes was the album I had in it constantly. It never left, and you could set this CD player radio thing to be an alarm clock in the morning, and this album was my morning alarm clock. I woke up every day to Don't Panic. That it would just, that guitar kind of stuff would come in at the beginning of it slowly, and it would play through every single day for me.
I love on that first album, just the kind of the detuned guitar vibes, like just the whole thing. I listen to it today and I always enjoy it. It's so good.
So for me, it's got a huge nostalgic element to it that I can't ever disassociate from the actual music in it as well. But I just love its production. I love the fact that you could play the you can play all these songs with an acoustic guitar. You can play them in an identifiable way. You get them. You can hear the four instruments. Every vocal line in every song is intelligible, understandable. You can sing through all of them and you understand it. I mean, for me at the time in the year 2000, which is when it came out, so much of music, I couldn't make out what people were singing half of the time or they're mumbling their way through. So I can hear an album that is very clearly presented, really clean, really confident and laid back, I found. So these guys are playing, you know, they're not rushing through stuff. They're not bombing through it. They're comfortable. They're sat back and they're confident in what they're doing. And I absolutely loved it. I didn't know music was like this until I got into this. I know at the time.
Yeah. What else was around in 2000?
So here we go. So Kid A came out by Radiohead. And that was a big departure for Radiohead. So a lot of people went on to Coldplay because Coldplay sound like Radiohead did prior to Kid A. So they inherited some of the audience there. They also inherited some of it from Travis, who had just come beforehand with a very similar acoustic, rocky, pop songy thing.
But failed to write more than, what, a couple of good songs.
Why Does It Always Rain on Me?
Name another two Travis songs.
I can hear it. I can't name it. Never mind.
Exactly.
But no,
they might have a song called "Ah, Never Mind." You might have inadvertently.
But on Parachutes, I mean, I love the whole album start to finish, and I do listen to it start to finish. But for me, Shiver, I learned that on guitar. I mean, getting into delay electric guitar with overdrive, and I know all the pedals that they used on that album and everything. I loved it. Yellow. Then when we get onto Yellow, your head just explodes.
Yeah, iconic.
And it's halfway through the album, and then everything else. So the songs are so, they go from really quiet, introspective songs into huge driving things all the way through. And it's ridiculous because Will Champion, who's the drummer or the drummer for Coldplay, isn't a drummer, or he wasn't a drummer.
No.
That he, I mean, you know,
got
this
sacked
well.
A few times, didn't he?
he did for poor recording quality, which you and I both know. We've done a very little bit of recording in studios. It's really, really hard to play things well in a studio.
Especially when you're not a studio musician.
You're not a studio musician, and it's not your instrument.
You're just waiting to get found out, basically.
It's a horrible place to be found out, where everyone is watching you and waiting for you to make errors. But no, Will isn't the drummer. But he drums fantastic. He drums perfectly for that music and especially for that album.
Yeah,
and I loved it, and I couldn't wait for the next album to come out, which was A Rush of Blood to the Head in 2002, and that was your album, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember hearing Politic and just thinking, oh my word, like this is just gorgeous.
I didn't hear it until I bought the album.
Same. I didn't hear anything from it until I bought the album. And was In My Place the first single? I think it probably was.
Not sure.
Yes, it was. Brilliant kind of drum intro to that song. But yeah, Politic was just soaring, moody, just an absolute soundscape, if you'll allow me to...
It was, so I didn't like it. So I'd listened to the first album, and it wasn't soundscape. It was four instruments, maybe a fifth instrument. It was disconnected. You could hear everything. It was not pub music, but, you know, it was approachable.
You could have seen that band at the pub, though, couldn't you? Very much so.
And you could have heard it like that. Mm. Then you get onto the second album and you hear Politic and it's just this ding, 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 ding thing that I can remember. I got home, I put it on my 3CD CD changer in there next to Parachutes. And I was like, what is this? This isn't Coldplay. I couldn't even describe it. It was just this dead straight hitting and I didn't like it the first time I listened to it.
The whole album has just stood the test of time. And I think what this album did was suddenly turn Coldplay into a band to be copied, and that's why you had the whole everything sounds like Coldplay thing.
Oh, yeah.
I had a massive text thread back and forward with my brother, and we were talking about the Beatles and the influence they had and how they changed music and how consistent their songwriting was for the 7 years only that they were actually a professional recording band.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Coldplay, 20 years, and their songwriting, and really, when I say there, it's mostly Chris Martin. Yeah. Songwriting is just so good. So if you think Rush of Blood was 2002...
2002, yeah.
And then think 2 years later, you had Keen.
Yeah.
You had Embrace, who I think might have already had songs, but it was Gravity that was written by Chris Martin that really brought them into the public,
yeah,
wider public sphere. You had Snow Patrol with Run, yeah, which sounded like Coldplay.
Yeah.
And there's probably a whole host of others that I can't think of off the top of my head that just seemed to have a very Coldplay-ish sound. The amazing thing is Coldplay were able to kind of develop that sound beyond that album.
Is Coldplay just U2 for the next generation, though? I mean, that's what I've seen thrown at it from older people. They're saying, oh, it's just the same as U2.
I know people would say that, but I think the influence is quite clear. But
yeah,
I think they're a much better band than U2. I would listen to a best of, the early best of and the later best of U2. But I wouldn't really, other than Joshua Tree, I wouldn't really sit down and listen to whole U2 albums. I think Bono's voice gets a little screechy and whiny after a while.
Yeah.
Whereas some vocalists have incredible voices, but you just can't palate them for that long. Rufus Wainwright, lovely voice. But after a couple of tracks, you're like, oh, I'm full. I need to sit down.
I need to listen to something else.
Yeah, because it's so indulgent almost. Whereas I think with Chris Martin's voice, it's so accessible. Coldplay, album after album, very accessible. Even 18 years on from Rush of Blood, it's not my favourite Coldplay album, but it's probably the most sonically satisfying from start to finish. You've got shades of what happened in the first album with, let me think, Green Eyes.
Yeah, you got some of the acoustic kind of more not melancholic, but definitely letting you kind of think and express that way, more sit down stuff. But did you know that on Rush of Blood to the Head, they produced a whole load of songs for it, but they thought they all sounded far too much like Parachutes and just dropped them all and sat and rewrote everything?
No, I didn't know that.
Somewhere there is a Parachutes 2 Coldplay album.
Dang.
Which they haven't released.
One day it will be.
I know. But on this album, on Rush of Blood, it has, in this order, so it's got Politic to begin with, it then has In My Place,
yeah,
God Put a Smile Upon Your Face, The Scientist and Clocks. Mm. It has those four songs back to back.
That was five, but yeah.
No, not including Politic. For me, Politic, yeah, I've never found to be amazing. It's got In My Place, God Put a Smile, The Scientist and Clocks.
Yeah.
And if you listen to those four back to back and think this is an album, it's just all killer, no filler.
Oh, yeah. And do you know what? Clocks, not that big a fan.
Really?
Yeah. For some reason, I think it's a great song, but I'm always like, yeah, come on, take it. Much prefer Politic.
Do you see
on the documentary that went out from their seventh album?
Yeah,
they had Chris in the studio, and he pretty much wrote The Scientist start to finish on a Saturday. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's incredible. And you think, oh, so the rest of the band came in after having a weekend off, and he just sits down and says, "What do you think, guys?" And pretty much the complete thing is there.
That song literally sends shivers down my spine whenever I hear it. It just comes on with that part and I just kind of go, oh, and just revel in it.
You go, what?
I go, oh.
Definitely editing that out.
Oh.
It was somewhere between Homer Simpson's, oh.
Yeah, yeah, it's that.
And a gargoyle dying from bleeding out.
Yeah, I'll take that. Gargoyle bleeding out death. I mean, for the rest of that album, I think there were good songs on there, but I think those four are the massive hits on it. And I really like A Rush of Blood to the Head itself, the title track, when it kicks in. I'm not bothered with it at the beginning.
Rush of Blood to the Head, massively underrated, never hear it in the shows anymore. I thought when we were talking about Parachutes, Everything's Not Lost.
Oh!
And We Never Change.
Guy Berryman does a and he always does through all of Coldplay's stuff, just gives so much guts and feel to the bass work on everything, to underlie it. I mean, I'm a bass player often in bands, and I think bass player, a good one, is always very underrated and... What's the other thing?
Underappreciated?
Underappreciated, unloved. Yeah, I could rant about this for hours.
Derided?
Derided, mocked, belittled.
No, if you notice a bass player too often, they're probably doing it wrong.
They are. But if you think this band sounds fantastic, this has got so much energy, it's usually a good bass player is always in there. And I think Guy does a fantastic job, especially on that first album. There's so much stuff, because it's such an open sound, that he does it on there. And he does it again on Rush of Blood to the Head, which is fantastic. What did you think of X and Y that came out in 2005? So that was the follow-up album.
Poor. It's my least favourite Coldplay album, very comfortably.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so, I think it's cack. It has one song on it.
I'd say it has more than one song. I think I read once that Chris Martin said it was a bit flabby. So it's 13 tracks.
Yeah.
Which is just a little bit too many. Speed of Sound, I think, is good. I think it's very similar to Clocks. But yeah. I think you'll find most albums, the first single is something that sounds the most like the last album.
Yeah, it makes it accessible and connects them.
Yeah, they often seem like a bit of a bridge. But yeah, like Talk, I think Naff, I think obviously Fix You is the...
That's the one song.
Yeah, but I do think Speed of Sound's got something in it. But yeah, I'm just looking here, Twisted Logic, I don't even know what that is.
No, I couldn't tell you what some of them are off the top of my head.
Low, I can't really think of how that goes. And I think they just suddenly went for big anthemic stadium vibe. And it was the first time I saw them live.
On the X and Y tour?
Yeah, but I think they did as many Rush of Blood songs as X and Y. I wouldn't regularly sit down and put it on.
No, I wouldn't. So I wouldn't listen to that one much.
Well.
That's it on that one.
I think we've put that to bed, haven't we?
We have. Next was Viva La Vida.
Ooh.
Now, this is an odd one. So I like this album. I'd never previously massively rated it. I mean, for me, Parachutes was fantastic. I really then loved Rush of Blood. I was sorely disappointed with X and Y. And then Viva La Vida came out. And I've listened to it loads. And I've listened to it again this week a lot. And there's not many single tracks on it that I like. But as an album, as a whole thing, I love it. I think it's a great album to sit and listen to start to finish.
Yeah, I think they, with this album, were suddenly starting to get a little bit... at least attempting to become less mainstream.
Yeah.
It felt very much like a concept album, revolution kind of message, and even they wore uniform outfits.
I remember it, yeah.
If you'll excuse the pun.
I mean, I really like that album. For me, that's kind of bubbling up to the top of one of my favourite Coldplay albums because of its listenability as a whole thing. But then I'm the kind of guy who likes 70s prog rock experimental albums. I like, you know, Pink Floyd and Zeppelin, whatever else, weird long stuff. And so this one really does it for me, though I can't tell you many of the track names on it because they're not very single-y. I do like the title track Viva La Vida particularly. And then is it Strawberry something?
Swing.
Strawberry Swing, is that
well,
on it as well?
I think the first single that came out was Violet Hill.
Yes.
And that... honestly, is in my top five favourite Coldplay songs. And when I heard it, I thought, oh man, it's so grungy and so different to everything else they've done.
Is that the one with...
Yeah.
Is it that riff? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
And yeah, it just felt like really kind of angsty. And I think that I was hoping the rest of the album would be a little bit more like that than it was.
Yeah.
And if you were ever putting together a Coldplay best of, you'd never stick Strawberry Swing on there, would you?
Well, but you should, because it's a gutsy song.
But Viva La Vida is obviously just an incredible piece of songwriting.
Oh yeah, it's a great thing.
What's the song that has the kind of three parts and was clearly trying to be a little bit Paranoid Android / Bohemian Rhapsody?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Cemeteries of London, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. What I do love about that album, though, is it starts and finishes the same. So it's designed to, you know, play on a CD that automatically loops back to the beginning. And so it gets to the end and does just loop straight back into the start. Mm. And so you can listen to it as an album in one long hit continually, which I used to do through my CD player disc changer thingy, if I still had it in 2008, which I probably did. But it was great, and I loved that, and I loved that it worked for the medium that it was mainly issued on. It was before the internet of just singles and sound bites that people would listen to. They would listen to albums.
Yeah. I think Life in Technicolor, I'm almost certain, was the music we walked out of our wedding to, Beck and I.
You walked out of your wedding to a Coldplay song?
Yeah.
Did you walk into a Coldplay song?
No.
Oh, that's all right, though.
But yeah, I'd say it's definitely one that you'd sit down and listen start to finish, but there aren't loads of singly kind of tracks. And then obviously you had the, there was an EP after it, wasn't there? Death and All His Friends. So it had Life in Technicolor 2.
Yes.
Lost with, was it Jay-Z?
Yeah, Lost Plus with Jay-Z, whatever it is. Yeah. There were remixes and stuff. Now, this marks a kind of watershed moment for me where, not watershed moment, a change in Coldplay, where they start to incorporate other people into it and, for me, lose a lot of their musical, not edge, I don't think they've lost the musical edge, but it's just not as accessible and it's not as relatable. We'll see as we go through, I don't really like much of what comes after Viva La Vida.
Blimey. What a sentiment. When a band gets someone else in, now I can't remember his name, but in Let It Be, on that album, they had someone in playing jazz piano, oddly enough.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you invest in the band as it is, and then suddenly when someone else comes in for a track or an album or what have you, it just feels like, it's a shame. You know when you're at a party and there's just, you click into a really good dynamic of the people there, and then someone else joins, and it just changes the dynamic, and it
just throws the whole thing off.
Yeah. I'm not going to give any examples, of course, but...
Of course not. It's though we aren't both going to any parties for quite some time, so it shouldn't be an issue.
No, certainly not ones where you can't just say, oh, sorry, my internet's died.
Hmm.
So yeah, so moving on from Viva La Vida goes on to Milo Xylotto, is that right?
I was going to ask you, how do you pronounce it? I've got it written down as Milo Xylotto.
Yeah, I don't even know what Milo Xylotto is, but it's,
which for me sums up the album. I like Paradise on it, but the rest of it is a dance album.
I think this is the point where they started having a few more songs that weren't depressing. So Paradise, Upbeat.
I like Paradise.
Every Teardrop is a Waterfall. I'd say this is their most poppy album.
Yeah.
Even Princess of China. I know Rihanna's on it, Riri.
Yeah.
But if you listen to it somewhere on iTunes, like a acoustic version, and it's quite enjoyable, actually.
Okay,
When they strip all the kind of layers away and it's just the guitar and Chris Martin and Rihanna.
When they do the Parachutes version.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I think the song's actually very good. Up in Flames is great.
Okay. I think I'll re-listen to it.
Johnny Buckland, the guitar he brings in right at the end is just so good, so subtle.
Yeah.
And it just really adds something. Charlie Brown's okay?
Yeah, Charlie Brown's okay.
It's interesting kind of time signature. But
none of these are The Scientist or no. In My Place. Or Fix You, or, you know.
Paradise and Every Teardrop work well because they can do them in stadium tours.
Yes.
But beyond that, I think what's probably... every album they have sounds different, doesn't it? They all just have their own...
Which they should. Albums should progress vibe. And develop. Yeah,
so I think by that point, they probably thought, we've done first album, acoustic, simplistic. The second one that kind of takes them in a greater musical direction. The third one, which was big, trancey, stadium kind of sound, they had their kind of concept album. Yeah. So maybe they just thought, let's go a little bit.
We'll do a pop dance album.
We'll go a little bit poppy and see what people think of it.
which, and frankly, I don't like.
Yeah, I wouldn't be high up for me. But I tell you what would be high up for me, Ben.
Do you rate Ghost Stories?
Flipping love it.
Really? I have one note. So I went through the whole album and I took one note down for this whole album, and that note is blah.
I'm surprised you didn't say meh.
Meh. I couldn't even be bothered to say meh. I went with blah. Blah, 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 blah.
So,
blah.
Hold on to your hat.
Come on. Sell
your headphones.
Sell it to me.
It's possibly my favourite Coldplay album.
Blah.
I think in the documentary, he was kind of in a rough place.
Yeah.
So I think that's reflected. But I think it's actually captures some of the moodiness of Parachutes, but with some of the more modern sounds. I love Always In My Head. Love Magic.
Magic is just, it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but I love how it doesn't have loads of delay and big sounds. It's kind of, it just is what it is. True Love is gorgeous. Midnight is stunning. Sky Full of Stars, great song. I know it's only 9 tracks. 43-minute album. That's all it is. But I love
43
it.
43 minutes of my life that I will never get back.
Honestly, you've gone too far this time, Ben.
No, it's just...
I put that on, if we've got people over... For people listening, having people over was something that used to be a thing where...
I think you've done this to me. I think I've been to your house. I've been to your house and you've put Ghost Stories on. I'm just
damn straight.
Like, why can't he put a good Coldplay album on? There's so many to choose from.
It works. It's really good background. Go on.
Yes, it's really good background music because it doesn't capture your engagement. It doesn't dominate the whole thing. You can put it on in the background and it's completely inoffensive kitchen music.
We're going to have to disagree on this one. I would say sometimes... You want to be slapped over the head with an album, and sometimes you want to put it on, sink into your seat. So I this is the album. End of a long week. Maybe Beck's gone to bed early. I'm staying up. Pour myself a little drink. And I could just sit in the chair, close my eyes and rest and have this album on.
Listen to it again.
With the lights off, with headphones, and just listen to the layers and embrace the moodiness.
Embrace the fact that it's not huge, anthemic, beautifully written, wonderful songs. Embrace. So there are other albums. There are things like Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys is a utterly fantastic album. It is all encompassing, but...
It's the best pop album ever made.
Yes.
Surely.
But yes, you're right. But you can put it on in the background as background dinner music. So, and that's what I've done when you've been over. That can just be on in the background. You can enjoy it at that level, but it's also, if you sit and listen to it, it's just another level entirely. I don't want to have to choose my music between, here's an album that I love that is all-encompassing in my face, and here's an album that I can only, is on in the background, or I have to listen to so intently on my own.
Yeah, but if you're going to compare it to Pet Sounds, why listen to any other music?
This is a good... Okay, this
it's
is another
a, it's
episode.
It's a moot point.
You mean a moo point?
Yeah.
Like a cow's opinion.
Doesn't matter. Ghost Stories, you've had your say there.
So I will rant forever on Ghost Stories.
We move on to Head Full of Dreams.
Yeah.
What do you think?
What are my notes on this? A bit better. A bit better, but still too dancey. I'm not a fan of kind of the dance music elements in it. I think it kind of blows it up. They're going for big rather than better. Though I love Adventure of Lifetime, that's a great feel and a great song on it.
Yeah.
But let me look through the rest of the track listing.
Again, I love this album because I think this album succeeds where Milo's Xyloto failed. And even if you look at the artwork for both, they're both multicolored, quite bright, quite visceral. And I think I've never heard anyone say this from Coldplay, so this is just me waxing lyrical, but I think they've succeeded in what they're trying to do. So it feels poppy and it feels big and actually it's a happy album.
It's more sincere, I think. I think this is less pop and more they're happy and they want to display happiness, which is great.
Noel Gallagher plays on this album.
Really?
Yeah.
What does he play on?
I can't remember. He plays the guitar on one track. Gwyneth Paltrow sings on one of the tracks.
Let's not talk about that.
All their kids are all their kids of the band members sing on one of the tracks.
So it's a happy-go-lucky, not too serious, want to do a good... Okay, I can appreciate it from that perspective.
Like Him for the Weekend, again, say what you will of Beyoncé, but I think it's a good song. And if, again, because Beyoncé's on it and the production's quite layered, but if you actually listen to the piano part of that song, it's gorgeous.
Him for the Weekend. Okay.
Everglow, yeah, okay, Adventure of a Lifetime. Fun with Tovlo. I think Up and Up is a fantastic song as well.
Do you think they're trying to talk themselves, the pendulum has swung from Ghost Stories over to the other side into A Head Full of Dreams? You saw the tour stuff for A Head Full of Dreams when the documentary came out, and it is so neon. It's way out there.
I'd say Ghost Stories is Chris Martin waking up on the wrong side of the bed. And this is probably the right side of the bed. And again, okay. I think it does do something different to any of the other albums. But I think it's Milo Zalato Mark II, but with much improvements.
Yes. Okay, I'll listen to that one more. I still don't think it's anywhere near as good as the earlier ones. And then there's the latest album that came out in 2019, Everyday Life. Do you like this album?
I don't know why I keep likening to the Beatles. Probably because...
Don't you dare compare Coldplay to the Beatles.
I'm not comparing them. I'm saying...
But you are comparing them. You're putting them in the same sentence.
I'm saying points of reference. This is their white
album.
That's
a comparison. That's a comparison.
This is their white album for me. So it's...
Really?
It's basically sketches, different... There's a couple of the tracks of Chris Martin just on his iPhone.
Okay.
So it's kind of like...
No production, anything, just here's
a smorgasbord. Here's just some songs, yeah. Church is fantastic. Trouble in Town, good. Daddy is flipping stunning. I love it.
Wrong. Daddy is emotional manipulation at its highest.
Nonsense. So, cynical or what?
It's...
How is it emotional manipulation?
It's fish in a barrel. All of Coldplay's fans are now 20 years older than they were at the start. They're all our age. They all have kids. If you write a song...
They don't all have kids.
Okay, they don't all have
kids. Some of them have kids.
Some of them... I'm going to go with a large proportion.
Okay.
A large proportion have kids or are aunts and uncles or are of the age in order to have children.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy, as a song, when I listen to it, is utterly devastating. It's this thing that you can only picture from the perspective of this small child who wants to be with their parent and play with them and be involved in them, and the parent isn't there or whatever it is. But I'm taken down now because I've got two boys. I'm taken down by anything in that vein whatsoever.
So you're disapproving of it because it affected you emotionally.
Yes, absolutely. It's not manipulation. It is manipulation.
He wrote it from a point of view of when he's been off touring. And it's almost a little bit from the perspective of his own children. So it's that insight is actually, I think it's such a valid song. I love it.
It's a too easier song to write. I'm not a good songwriter. But if you pick a subject like that, if you write anything about, what are the lyrics to it? Daddy, where are you? Or Daddy, why aren't
Daddy,
you coming?
Daddy, are you out there? Daddy, won't you come and play?
Oh!
It is heartbreaking.
Oh, no. Don't do that. That's hot. Daddy, won't you come and play?
The line that breaks me is, look, Dad, we've got the same hair. Because Immy's got, like, really similar hair to me.
Yes.
So it's such a devastating... But I wouldn't say you can dismiss it because it actually affects you emotionally.
Because it's
That's what music should do. I don't think it is. What do you think of... Orphans, because I think that's the one...
That's the one song that I really do like on the album.
And that's the one that's most like the previous album, again, I think.
That's the most... Here's my notes from this album. All cack, with the possible exception of Orphans. It's the only Coldplay-sounding track on the lot. So that was the note that I made on this album, that I like Orphans, and I know they did a quick kind of EP early release of it that was Orphans and Arabesque.
Mm.
And I didn't really like Arabesque. But
what?
I liked Orphans.
I don't really like Arabesque?
Not really. It's kind of this ding-dang, this twangy, twinky thing. Yeah, that kind of...
It reminded me of Violet Hill, funnily enough. That kind
of... Yeah, I know what you mean.
Earthy, rustic vibe.
Yeah.
I'm shocked, Ben.
No, oh, Daddy is too. Daddy pushes it too far. I can't deal with that.
I'm surprised. So you probably dislike as many Coldplay albums as you like now then.
I'm a very much 50-50 type. You know this. I'm a somewhat miserable person at times. And so for me, I love Parachutes. I love A Rush of Blood. Let's Not Bother with X and Y. I love Viva La Vida. And then there are moments in everything after that where I can see and I can understand, I can appreciate the good songwriting. I can appreciate the production.
Something Just Like This? What do you think of that?
I can't remember that one.
I think it was an EP after Head Full of Dreams, wasn't it?
Yes, I do like that one, in fairness. But there are moments like that. So for me, I could take, of the last four or five albums, I could probably put an album together.
Mm-hmm.
It would jar horribly. None of it would make sense together. But there are bits in there that I would like.
I can listen to some of their stuff whilst exercising now, which you couldn't do, you know, before.
I don't bother exercising anyway. It's why I don't exercise.
Well, yeah, you don't have to, mate.
You probably dying on the inside.
You weren't a chunky youth.
I'm fat on the inside.
Well, I'm fat on the inside and the outside. For me, so I guess posing the question, are Coldplay that good? So they're arguably the biggest band in the world now. I don't think many people would say there's any band bigger with as big a following.
Yeah.
Chris Martin as a songwriter, he's up there with all, the all-time best pop songwriters for me.
And I think I agree.
Because the songs are accessible for the most part, masks how good the songs are.
It makes it look too easy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a very honest songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there are so many good bands without that many good songs. So, you know the whole Blur Oasis thing from the 90s? Yeah. Where so many people were like, oh, Blur, definitely.
It's Oasis.
I'll listen to a best of Blur, but their songs aren't good enough, or they don't have enough good songs.
They don't.
There are a few Coldplay songs where I'd say that's a bad song, and I'd say most of them are on X and Y.
Yeah, I think X and Y's, I'd say, the low point for them. I think everything else beyond that I can appreciate as being good. I can appreciate it moving with the times and being interesting for people. It's just not to my personal taste. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say that their songwriting or their production or their musical development has gotten worse. It's just moved further away from the typical stuff that I listen to and that I'm interested in. I would love it if they did not an acoustic version of everything, but just another album that's a bit more, if they did like another Rush of Blood to the Head type thing that is a bit gutsy, a bit in your face, that kind of thing. Less synths, but that's just me. But no, I think in terms of the question of, are Coldplay that good? Yeah, they're that good.
Yeah.
I mean, are they Pet Sounds good? This is the bar we're setting it against?
Well, of course not.
Of course not, no. But are they good? Yeah, no question. Doing this kind of thing where we go through and review and find a band who matter to us and we say how good they are, I love doing these kind of discussions. Mm. If we have any listeners who would like us to discuss another band, potentially one that we like, do we have a way of anyone communicating with us?
Well, firstly, we still haven't really told anyone that we've done these. And there has to come a point where we're just having... at what point are we just recording our phone conversations?
Hey, I'm enjoying these conversations. Dave's listening next door, though Dave didn't listen to the Tiger King one because he hasn't listened to any of them yet or watched the Tiger King. And most of the comments I'm getting back are over the fence from Dave. Mm-hmm. So if we need to set up like an email address or a Twitter account or something...
Well, let's wait to go past seven listeners and we'll think about that. Right, well, thank you very much. Plan. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And when I say everyone, Dave... Ben, is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
I love Coldplay. They are one of the foundations of my musical taste. I will listen to them for the rest of my life, but I wish they would do music that's slightly closer to their earlier stuff. But I love them.
Are you crying?
No.
Thanks for listening.